her wedding venue was two stories. And so you had what I assume were considered like the A-list guests down at the bottom and the B-list guests up at the top. And the venue didn't order enough food, so they made sure to feed everyone at the bottom layer, everyone in the A group, the
No.
A group guests, and then everyone at the top, no one ate. No one received any food. No one told the bride because they didn't want her to panic.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes, and today I'm joined by none other than Rebecca Rogers. Yes, the Rebecca Rogers. You know her from her viral characters, hilarious commentary, and unfiltered takes on everything from the classroom chaos to internet nonsense. We are diving into a wild ride with her. We talk about some crazy stories we've received, some hot takes, and we get on a lot of tangents just because, I don't know, our vibes just run really high when we're together. I have so much fun hanging out with Rebecca, and we talk a lot. So I hope you guys can enjoy this episode. I just had a lot of fun. So without further ado, please enjoy this episode with Rebecca Rogers. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi. Oh my gosh. I missed you so much.
Thank you for coming on. I know, for anyone who doesn't know, Rebecca was just, we met up in Chicago and we got to do a fun little podcast for you. So if you guys haven't listened, you have to listen to that one. Maybe we'll put that in the show notes so they can listen to it too.
Yeah, I'll put the link in the description. I haven't even gotten to make clips for that yet because I've been so sick, but I know they're going to be good.
We talked a lot. It was so fun. I feel like we could have talked for like hours.
I literally told my mom, I was like, I have to make another trip to Chicago just so we can go get dinner and keep talking.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I loved it. No, that was so much fun. But to start off, for anyone that doesn't know you, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and all that good stuff?
Yeah, so my name is Rebecca Rogers. I originally started as a high school social studies teacher. And during COVID lockdowns, I was just trying to make the kids laugh in the best way that I could. You know, everyone was really struggling in that time. And I made a TikTok as just like an inside joke for my kids. And I figured if previous students saw it, whatever, who cares? But it was just supposed to be an inside joke. And they picked appropriate silly trends for me to do. And I started making skits about silly things they would do in class. And then more teachers kind of really liked it. Parents liked it. Kids liked it. Teachers liked it, whether they felt seen as a parent dealing with silly kids or a teacher dealing with education or kids just, oh yeah, I did that. Or my poor teachers, what do they have to deal with? And it kind of turned into like a advocacy kind of form of like using comedy and storytelling to raise awareness about issues in education. I still do that, but when I left the classroom, I kind of tried to pivot and do the same thing with other occupations and other ways of life, just to kind of, I taught social studies, and I would always tell my kids that the first step to accepting each other is understanding each other. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my reason and my why behind everything that I do.
I love that. I find it so interesting. So many people I've talked to, COVID, like 2020, so much happened, right? But I feel like it was such a pivotal time for so many people. Like a lot of people made pivots in their career, pivots in their lifestyle, pivots in, like, it kind of made you look at life a different way of like, how am I going to approach my career? How am I going to approach my family? Like the next kind of stages. So I find it interesting. I can only imagine the stress being a teacher during that time.
Oh yeah. So I worked in a school where community was very strong. There's even a term for it, but like the school name's in it. So I don't want to like say it, dox the place or anything. But kids went to school in that little community from elementary through high school. Mm-hmm. Teachers didn't really leave. So there was me, my best friend at the time. Well, we're still very close, but we just don't see each other all the time now that I'm not teaching. He was a few years older than me. And I think the next oldest teacher was like 10 years older than us. Mm-hmm. And the next oldest was 10 years older than them. And then everyone is in the, oh, in the next 10 years, all these people are going to retire. So I got designated as the youngest, the virtual teacher. And my oldest colleague, who I loved, he was an amazing human being. He was 75. Wow. And they put all the virtual only teachers in a trailer. So I really didn't, even at work in person, I was in an empty classroom in an empty trailer building all day.
Oh my.
The only interaction I really got was when my 75-year-old colleague, who I adored, would come and say, hey, can you show me use the stylus to our laptops? And I'm like, yes, I would happily show you.
Please, human interaction. To. Yes.
Literally, it was crazy. It was interesting, but I do agree that it changed everything about my life. for sure. Just COVID in general, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting to like think, and I don't know if you think about this a lot, if like that didn't happen, would you still be teaching? Was that moment for you that you were like, you know what, I can reach so many more people this way, or kind of speak to a larger audience, or kind of that find your true passion?
I think even more than just occupation wise, I think COVID really changed my entire outlook on not just life, but even on myself. It's actually funny. I didn't even know that you could make a living doing social media, because at the time I was not monetized. I think it wasn't even until like I started in October, and it wasn't until that summer that I even got my first brand deal. They didn't even really have monetization for short form content like that. And I remember like the brand deal I got, I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. I can make money doing brand stuff. And those I would do at home. I wouldn't do those at school. And my county was so interesting in that we had multiple viral TikTok teachers in the county. We had four.
Oh, wow.
Just in our county, okay. All in the millions. There was me, one of my best friends. We taught at the same school. She okay. was in Spanish. I was in social studies. And our classrooms were like right above each other.
Yeah.
And then there was a gym teacher who was at the middle school that fed into our high school. Mm-hmm. And then there was an elementary school teacher who I think was on the other side of the county. And so there was a lot of us. Mm-hmm. And we each were given different rules. Like my principal told my friend at my school, yeah, you can record whatever. I don't care as long as it's not during school hours. And then turned around and told me, you can't record anything at school. And I was like, that doesn't make sense.
Oh,
and then HR started like contacting the social media teachers, and HR told me, and I have the screen recorded meeting one day, maybe, I don't know. You always keep it just in case.
Yeah.
You never want to get rid of that stuff. But they told me, we don't care that you record anything at school. You can do whatever you want at school, as long as like minors aren't in it, of course, safety right. anyways, but you can't monetize. You can't monetize using school materials. Mm-hmm. And I said, I don't know what that means, because I'm not using school materials in the videos. And they see, you see that brick behind you in the wall? Those are school materials. And I was like,
whoa.
Okay. All right. And I'm like, well, regardless, I'm not monetized. Like anything I do with a brand deal is, I think at the time I worked with Sam's Club and I recorded it at Sam's Club.
Yeah.
But anything that I'm getting paid for, I'm not doing it at school anyways. And they say, well, we've seen your YouTube. I just started posting shorts. We've seen your YouTube and we see the ads. And I said, but I'm not getting paid for those. And they're like, well, we know how this works. And I said, I don't think that you do. And they just weren't listening. Like they thought they knew, they thought they were so smart. They didn't know anything they were talking about. And that's when I put in my 2 weeks. I was like, look, even just with these brand deals, if I can find a brand deal once a month, I'm still making more than my teacher salary.
Mm.
Like, which is crazy, which is should not be a thing for public school teachers. Should yeah. not be reality. But even just with this brand deal that I would consider like now at this point a small amount, I was like, this is more than my teacher's salary. And so I came to the conclusion that, well, maybe I'll find something in ed tech. And until then, if I just can get a brand deal a month, I'll be golden. And then about a week after I put in my, it wasn't even 2 weeks, it was 30 days notice. A week after I put in my 30 days, I received an email from YouTube saying that I was eligible for monetization and they were doing this new thing called the shorts bonus. And that I qualified. And here was what I was making for my first month in the shorts bonus. And I looked at that number and I was like, oh, that's double my teacher salary. I don't need another job. I'm going to do this all the time. Are you kidding? I can stay home with my cats and do this all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to do that for sure. Oh, and that's the story.
Wow. Oh my gosh. I love that. I hate that it's like how our society does not value teachers and does not value like what they're worth and their time. That's obviously
it's crazy.
Oh, it's such a
not
big
only thing. That to think of the bone the county was trying to pick when there was such a there still is such a teacher shortage.
Mm-hmm.
And I even asked, because I know there's going to be people listening that were like, well, if people were complaining, I asked them straight up, has anyone complained at all? Well, no. Okay, so what's the issue? What if someone does complain? Which was weird because someone already did complain about my friend claiming that her video was about her child. And that's when the principal was like, we know it was a very general, broad video about teachers catching students cheating.
Mm.
And I guess this mom's daughter cheated, got caught, and was like, well, it's about my kid. Well, maybe they should be shamed a little bit. I don't know. But I said, so no one's complained about my content? No. But what if someone does complain? I said, Well, I don't make content about anyone who I'm actively teaching without their permission, of course.
Yeah.
So who cares if some lady in Nebraska calls and says, I don't like this video, it's about a child. They don't know. No one locally here is going to complain because it's not about their kids.
Right.
Well, people out of state don't know that. Who cares? Who cares? I even said to them, I remember saying, trying to remember the stats that I gave them because I knew them back then and I don't know them now. I said, there are elementary school kids who got home at 6 p.m. because we don't have enough bus drivers.
Mm-hmm.
We currently, I think we had at the time, 2,000 teacher listings in our county. We're a very large county. We have 17 high schools alone. 2,000 teacher spots open. Why are you picking this fight? Mm-hmm. What is the issue? And they couldn't give me an answer.
Yeah. I have friends that are teachers that I hear about, and I'm just like, it is such a shame. And I feel like teachers that create social media content really, like, that do it the right way, like you're talking about, like they don't put students in or anything like that, really bring awareness to a lot of issues that are out there. They show encouraging, empowering content. I've seen like a large array of content with teachers and educators. And I think it's amazing to see things like within the classroom, whether it's how you can like teach at home or what your kids should be learning at home while before they go to elementary school or just different things like that. I think is like really helpful how teachers are using social media now. All kinds of professions are using social media as a way to educate and inform. And
absolutely.
Yeah, it's a shame that some districts haven't kept up with that.
I think I really love the idea of teachers on social media. And I know there's a lot of people that disagree, but in reality, I've seen so many people in comment sections just genuinely, oh, I had no idea that this is how things worked. Or I had no idea that teachers didn't have control of this. Even just with recent times, and I don't know if you talk about this stuff on, I don't usually talk politics or anything like that, but just as an example, when different parts of the Department of Education were getting defunded not that long ago, I just remember seeing so many threads post about, oh, yay, now the states will finally get to make decisions about curriculum. And I'm like, they've done that the whole time. It has always been with, what do you mean? Well, now the states can pay the teachers. They already do, and they don't pay them crap.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, the amount of misinformation that is out there about not just like how our school system works, but how our government works, just in general.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that people aren't aware of the system that they send their kids to every day baffles me. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why people who, especially who like to play the act of overprotective parent, but don't actually want to do the work or the research to actually play the part. You won't take the 10 minutes to Google how this institution you send your child to every day actually runs. You don't know who's in charge of what. We had a rule at my school. It was the 10-minute rule. So the first 10 in the last 10 minutes in class, kids were not allowed to go to the restroom. And the reason was because we had a lot of kids skip. The goal was to figure out, well, like, we can't figure out who's going to the bathroom and who's skipping. So the goal was, if we keep kids in the classroom, we know who's running late, who is skipping, who's not where they're supposed to be, those kinds of things. And it helped administrators kind of grab the kids that need to be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
The number of parents who tried to accuse me of withholding bathroom privileges, well, you can't do that. This is a jail. First of all, I don't even make this rule. If it's an emergency, obviously we're going to make an exception.
Right.
Obviously, no one's going to allow your child to like pee on themselves.
Yeah.
What do you mean? This is not my rule. I don't get to decide the rules that go on in the school. I'm like the lowest on the totem pole at this point.
Right.
I don't know what they think. It's just crazy to me.
It's like, yeah, they hear like one thing without actually talking to a real life teacher and ask them how it is. Because I think if you talk to most teachers, they're going to be right there with you and agree with you of everything you're saying.
Right.
And instead, they're just getting their information from someone that's not a teacher, never been a teacher, or not in the school system.
Or not only that, like, they'll take one example, and I wish I remembered the stats for this too, because I looked them up for this comment. I have 2 points that just blow my mind. I will never understand. People will see like one crazy individual who happens to be a teacher and who makes bad choices, and they're like, oh my God, all teachers do this.
Mm.
And I don't understand, because we all go to work every day. We all have jobs, and we all have colleagues where we're like, we don't know how you got this job. There's someone in every profession, in every workplace, that just blatantly shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
And I don't understand why teaching has become the profession, why, when there are millions and millions and millions of educators out there, Why is this one person who clearly is just a crazy person who happens to be a teacher? Why are you letting that identify everybody? And it's interesting because it's a lot of times it's the same people who are like, well, not all police officers. Okay, but why can't you have the same energy for teachers? You know? I don't
Why are they the
understand.
enemy?
Or right. And I remember someone was arguing in a comment section, and I don't usually check like bad comments, but every now and then I have time. Every now and then I'm looking for something to give me adrenaline. And then I like to antagonize and then remind them that their tantrum is funding my lifestyle and move on. But I remember someone was like, I read an article about two different public school teachers last week who ended up being pedophiles. And I was like, that's crazy and unfortunate. You know what? I found two teachers just in my state in private schools who also ended up being pedophiles. Not only that, the statistic and the percentage of public school teachers that encompasses is much smaller than the number of private school teachers that encompasses. Now, that doesn't mean I have an issue with private school teachers at all. But y'all, every people have got to stop saying, well, I saw something crazy happen with two public school teachers, and that's why private's better. First of all, incorrect, because you can find the same number of people who are awful people who happen to be private school teachers as well, or happen to be homeschool teachers, or happen to be nurses, or happen to be gardeners, as I look into my garden, anything, right? That doesn't mean anything. And I've said this before, and a lot of people, for whatever reason, jump down my throat because they don't understand the point. When people say, like, private school is better, you can send your kids to wherever you want. I don't care. No educator actually cares where you send your kid to school, whether it's homeschool or private school or charter school, public school, whatever. But the reality is the only place that you're guaranteed to only get certified licensed educators is public school. Not to say that there aren't private schools that have licensed teachers or private schools that require licensing, but private schools are not required to hire licensed teachers as a general rule. Now, a specific private school might have that as a requirement, but private schools in general don't. Charter schools in general don't. A lot of people don't seem to understand the difference between a charter school and a public school. There is a difference. Homeschooling, not required to have a license. And again, no one cares where you send your kids, but stop with this, well, the teachers are better. Not always, they're not even licensed. Teachers who teach in private or public, if they're licensed, they get the same license from the same school. They're not going to a special private school teachers college and a public school teachers college. It's the same education. I don't know why they think it's different. I'm rambling. I'm sorry. I didn't take Adderall today. I'm like ranting. You got me in my
Like
feelings.
talking about, well, it just shows how passionate you are. And I feel like there's definitely overlap with what you're talking about. And people, I see it like even in my content too, that's not related to education at all, but in my content too, people like to label very quickly and they like to group people very quickly. And so even I
Yes.
find, when I do like, and I've talked about this before, when I do like mother-in-law skits, and I try to always preface it with most people that follow me are brides or have been brides. So I just happen to get more mother-in-law stories. But I try to focus on other things too. There's cousin stories, there's brother stories, there's uncle
Exactly,
stories.
yes.
But I have people message me that be like, well, not all mother-in-laws are like this. And I'm like, I agree. I have an amazing mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. But I just happen to get more stories about mother-in-laws because
Exactly.
brides write to me.
Well, not like I get the same thing about substitute teachers when people are like, all your stories are about bad substitute teachers, which, first of all, the amount of stories I have about subs in general is like a very small percentage. That's always a funny comment to me. But also, I'm like, people aren't going to send me stories about the best sub they ever had. They send you stories about the worst sub they ever had. They're going to send stories about the worst mother-in-law they ever had. They're going to send stories about this crazy situation you wouldn't believe about. That's just the reality of what people send us. I don't understand why people don't under like a person who's doing their job, though great and loved in the community. We love that. It's like the people who use the scary examples in the news, like this is why teachers are bad. Well, no, that's what gets people's attention. The crazy parents are what's going to get people's attention. Those few bad teachers, the few bad parents. I say this all the time. Most parents that I interacted with as a teacher, great. Loved them. They don't make good stories. I don't tell stories about them. I dealt with 100 kids every semester. I taught for 5 years. That's a lot of kids and a lot of parents. I think maybe I might have had 30 of my own situations and stories.
Right.
most happening like within the same semester, that's a very small percentage. I
Right.
experienced myself two substitute teachers because I didn't know what a sick day was. I've always been a workaholic.
Yeah. I get
two
that.
Substitute teachers. One sub was actually my ex-husband. He was the first sub I ever had because he was subbing while studying for the bar exam. And I was so sick. And he's like, I'll just be your sub and I'll do exactly what you need me to do. And if I'm doing it wrong, you can FaceTime me at school. And I was like, okay, fair, valid. Yeah. I'll trust that. The only other time I ever had a sub was when I already put in my notice and I was like, I got so many vacation days. They're telling me I can't get paid out for them anyways. I'm going to take some time off.
Yeah.
And I actually had the sub apparently never left my rolly chair and just rolled around the room and broke the chair.
Oh.
And one of my students laughed at him. So in my sub note, my sub blamed that kid and said that my student broke the chair.
Oh, no.
So, like, I just got to school the next day and I looked at the note and I was like, oh my gosh, Timmy, what did you do? And he was so confused. He had no idea. I'm like sitting there scolding him for breaking my chair. He had no idea what I was talking about. And then I'll never forget his face. And he goes, wait, did the sub say I broke the chair? And I was like, yes. And I obviously was speaking to him in private in the hallway. And he like flings open my classroom door and he goes, guys, the sub told her I broke the chair. And they all just start bursting out laughing. And I was like, what happened? What's going on
what
here?
What am I missing here?
I don't understand. It was crazy. It was crazy. So like, yeah, no one tells stories about people that just keep their head down and do their job. That's just the reality.
Right. We love a good learning moment. We love a good entertainment moment.
Exactly. You know,
I feel like I get a lot of messages from moms now, or they're kind of in that next stage where their son or daughter is dating someone and they're like, I know we're now to like not cross these boundaries or to respect boundaries. And so I feel like those are really cool messages to see, because I'm like, okay, I'm not just spreading negativity. I feel like it's really good to see different conversations play out too, and how to handle different things. And of course, there's always a hinge of just extra drama, because why not? It's fun.
We love it.
Craving more wedding drama? Join my wedding party Patreon for Here Comes the Drama After Dark. Each month, we dive into juicy confessions, wedding 911 advice, and the spiciest hot takes. And of course, we always end with a wild wedding story reacting in real time. From bridesmaids to groomsmen, mother-in-law madness to photographer fails, every month has a new theme. Patreon members get early access to all regular episodes and an exclusive chat to discuss the drama. Don't just hear the drama, be a part of it. Join now.
Human beings love drama. We don't like when it happens to us, but we like watching it from a distance.
Yeah. And I feel like it like allows people to like, which this is going to sound really weird, but like bond over the drama. So like in the comments.
Yes. Oh, like trauma bonding.
Together. Yeah. Like, right. Exactly. And it allows you to like talk amongst each other about this situation. How would you handle it? I don't know. It creates good dialogue. So
not only that, and I guess coming from social studies background, I've always loved like psychology and sociology as well. Like I studied that a lot. I just wish I had the opportunity to teach it. I think there's a lot of people who grow up in environments where a lot of the behaviors that we put in skits is deemed normal. And they don't always understand that it's not. And then when they see these kinds of behaviors in skits and online, and they're seeing people say this isn't okay, it also provides a learning moment and a teachable moment, and they can either be receptive to it or they can get up. And you can always tell in the comments whether this is dumb. Okay, well, you're not receptive to it. Okay, yeah. You'll just keep acting like that. That's fine. But there's plenty of people who are kind of unlearning bad behavior that they either grew up with or watched someone else exhibit and just thought it was normal. And it's like a teachable moment of, oh, okay, I know not to do that anymore. Great. That's my bad. And I think it allows so much growth. And I think that's so valuable.
Yeah. I'll share something like I learned from a skit years ago. I don't know if it was like a skit or like how they shared it. So I've always been like a people pleaser. And like, I always try, I don't know what the term is, but like if a friend came to me saying, this is what's going on, I want to fix, like, I want to help. That's like my,
I call that mom friend. We've already established.
We have talked about this.
Correct. Yeah. Yes.
So that was always my thing. So I always thought if someone's coming to me saying, I have this issue, it's up to me now to fix it. No one ever told me that. I just feel like through different context clues through my life, I was like, yep, that's my job. So I started thinking like, I have to give them advice. I have to do this. And then if they didn't take my advice, I'd be mad about it. or not be like mad, but I'd be like, oh, why do they keep doing this if they are coming to me? And I saw a thing where it was basically like, some people just want to vent. Some people just like getting it off their chest. They don't want advice. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm assuming they want advice. How like overstepping of their boundary. And so I would start just being like, do you want advice or you don't want me to listen? And then you can just ask them and just take a step back. And I was like, and it's been freeing. It's been so freeing because I'm like, everyone does not need me to fix them because I don't even know what I'm doing half the time, you know?
Literally, I even learned something from one of my own videos that I did something wrong and I had no idea. That's been a couple of times with that. There's one I know I said on my podcast before, but I don't remember if it was your episode or not. So I'll tell a different one. Okay. I did one video about a parent who came to meet the teacher and said, hey, my student has an IEP, meaning that they need accommodations. And the accommodations is that they have a mini horse. And where are you going to put the door in the classroom for the mini horse to leave and use the restroom? Which obviously, like, that is a crazy thing to ask a teacher. How is a teacher supposed to put a, like, do construction in the classroom, put a door? I once taught on the second floor of a building. How do you want that to work?
Yeah.
I didn't actually know that a mini horse was like a legitimate accommodation for some people with some disabilities. And it's rare. It's not common, but it is a thing. And I thought it was just a parent being ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And so I was, obviously her behavior and her expectations was ridiculous, but the accommodation itself was not. And I didn't know that. And so I'm sitting there making fun. And then I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. We are all learning. That's my bad. Apologies. Even another one, I'm trying to think of even how to describe it. And this might have been one that I told you. I told somebody. I don't know. But our listeners can, we can always learn.
Yeah.
We're in a day and age where lingo and words that are and are not appropriate is constantly changing. And I learned in another video about accommodations and disabilities. In the skit, I had a parent come in asking about accommodations. And I told them they needed to go check out the specific department, but I said the word like SPED because that is what it's called and verbalized that at the schools that I worked for. Mm-hmm. And there are some parts of the country that's already established that is an unacceptable term to use. Mm-hmm. I had no idea because it's the term that my school I was still working at used.
Yeah.
But some people felt it was a very inappropriate label and very offensive. And I had no idea. I had no way to know that because even professionally today, they still use that term in the schools, in the emails, in the meetings. I always say that you never know what you don't know, but you can always learn as you go. And it's just about whether you're going to be receptive to it or not.
Right. It's like, are you going to be defensive over it or be like, oh, I didn't know that. Let me look into it and let me change my speech or my behavior. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Definitely. And I think that's the beautiful thing about this kind of like next generation too, is that we can always learn and we're not, well, I mean, we're always learning, you know, adapting and changing. But like,
yeah,
too, with the different skits and stuff is being able to see it and being like, okay, how can I learn from this? Look inside myself and see like, okay, I'm not perfect. We're all flawed. How can I take this and,
exactly,
and move with that? Okay. So that being said, I know we're kind of, we could, like I said in the beginning, like we could talk forever. So
I know. I just love you so much.
I know.
Oh my God, are we going to have to do multiple episodes? That's crazy. We didn't even really talk about like wedding things.
I know. I'm like, hey guys, this is a bonus episode because it's not about weddings yet.
We can do another one about weddings.
We'll just have different topics.
Eventually. Eventually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Why not?
Why not?
We could just. I love that. Yeah. It's so fun.
I know. It was funny. Like right away, we're like, we could talk. We haven't even started recording yet.
I think what's so funny is we went into the episode for my podcast is like, hey, we're not going to talk wedding stuff. And then we only talked wedding stuff. And then we went into yours, like, we're going to talk wedding stuff. And we have not talked about wedding stuff.
Well, and it's funny, too. I was just saying to my husband the other day, I was like, I kind of want to change my, and I might have said this to you too when we got together last time, but I kind of want to change my name from Party Planning by Krista to just my name. Because obviously, like, I love talking about events and weddings and all the drama around them. But I feel like it's very confusing for people. And like we talked about this, so many people think I'm a current wedding and events planner. And I've said a million times, but people don't see everything. I'm not a professional wedding planner. I've just been to a lot of events. I've been in a lot of weddings and I help do day of coordinating here and there. I kind of just like talking. I mean, we talk about relationships. We talk about boundaries. We talk about events and just life. It's here comes the drama because there's always
I would change your name. I definitely would change your name. Not because of other people, but because it's what you want and because it reflects like the brand that you want to put out into the world. I've been out of the classroom for 4 years at this point, and people, you left the classroom?
Mm-hmm.
I have a whole hour long video about why I quit teaching pinned to the top of my YouTube.
Yeah.
You, wait, you're not a teacher anymore? No, I'm not. Not for a while.
Yeah.
You'll never escape it. You just won't.
Yeah.
Never, even since getting divorced, so many people have asked, are you going to change your name? And I said, why would I? Everyone's still going to call me Rogers. So at least professionally, why would I change it? It makes no sense.
Seems like more
for
work
me personally, I might. I think that you should, like, for your branding. For like, I think that you should. But people will still call you the wedding planner, even though you weren't one.
I know. Yeah, we'll play around with it. Okay, so that being said, do you have any crazy stories that come to mind when it comes to weddings, events?
I have so many. Do you want a theme? You got to pick in-laws, bridesmaids. What do you want?
Let's go bridesmaids. I feel like we hear some in-law stories. Let's go bridesmaids.
I might have told this on ours, but that's also okay.
Yeah.
In this moment, I realized, may these friends never find me. Like, truly.
Yeah.
I was in a wedding, and one of the bridesmaids was talking about her best friend's wedding that she was also just in.
Okay.
And it was a few weeks before. And first of all, she was talking about how everyone assumed that the bridal dress colors were going to be terrible because everyone basically got, they were all able to get different dresses in their style as long as they were like pinky tan. That was the description they were given. And for whatever reason, all the bridesmaids thought it was going to look terrible. But it actually looked pretty cute, in my opinion. Yeah. Everyone had pinky tan dresses. I thought it looked like a cute little ombre, whatever. And the bride was kind of panicking a little bit. And this bridesmaid said, don't worry, no matter what happens, it can't be worse than my best friend's wedding. And went on about the pinky tan dresses and then was kind of making fun of the fact, you know, her wedding venue was two stories. And so you had what I assume were considered like the A-list guests down at the bottom and the B-list guests up at the top. And the venue didn't order enough food. So they made sure to feed everyone at the bottom layer, everyone in the A group, the A group guests, and then everyone at the top, no one ate. No one received any food. No one told the bride because they didn't want her to panic.
No.
And instead, her bridesmaids just started making fun of it at other people's weddings, talking about, hey, at least can't be as bad as my best friend. And I thought, may these friends never find me. May these friends never find me. Like, just the tone and the just sheer snobbiness of the entire conversation. I'm like, this was your best friend? Okay.
Oh,
so cool.
So she was like talking about how the other guests didn't get fed at the wedding.
Yeah. I think there's a difference between being like, oh my gosh, this was awful, and being like, oh my God, her wedding sucked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's totally a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the friend that's waiting for something bad to happen behind their back. Mm-hmm. I was just talking about this with someone where it's like, those are the friends that can't allow someone else to shine on their day. They're waiting for their moment to like fail, that have been secretly waiting. I like to think that there's been signs all along that friend is like that. I would hope so. And you're just like, oh yeah, I always have that friend. Because looking back in my like early 20s, even high school, I had a couple friends that were all like, I always call them my first bullies. They would like down, they would make fun of me. And I was like, oh, that's what friends do. And then you get real friends and you're like, oh, that person was never my friend. They were always wishing for my downfall.
You just unlocked a memory of mine.
Yeah.
Okay. I have another story for you. I don't think I've ever told this anywhere.
Okay.
So when I got married, I had 6 or 8 bridesmaids. I had a larger bridal party. And one of my biggest flexes is most of them I'm still the best of friends with. I think the only ones that I don't really talk to are people that were like associated in my ex's family. Like, obviously, you know, and obviously one other person who kind of dropped off the face of the earth from everybody kind of after. And this is who this story is about. Is her.
Okay.
At my bachelorette party, one of my best friends, Lauren, was my maid of honor. And she put together, of course, some games. And one of them was like, what is your favorite memory with Becca? And this girl, for whatever reason, we all cheered together in college, most of us. told the story about how when we were competing, she literally, like, we were both very tiny. And so we were on top of the pyramids together.
Yeah.
And I basically held her and did a trick, and she like kicked me in the face while we were competing, which is normal in cheerleading, you know, yeah. Like you get hit, it happens. Right. But, like, that was her favorite memory, was kicking me in the face competing. And it was just so funny. And I didn't know, like, she ended it with, and I never apologized. And I just remember thinking, okay. And then I didn't know at the time, but apparently she spent the next hour sulking in the other room. I was told she was just doing hair and makeup, mm-hmm. sulking in the other room because her ex-boyfriend that she was stalking was coaching cheer down the road in Myrtle Beach. And she wanted to leave to go talk to him and hang out with him.
Oh,
and wanted to just go figure out why they broke up, and was so angry because I don't think Becca would care. I don't think Rebecca would mind. I don't see why I can't just leave and go talk to him. And I didn't know it at the time. But everyone, apparently, like, all my really good friends were like, you can't do that. No. No one's driving you. Do not leave to go chase your ex-boyfriend. That is a bad decision.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of those things where that person could not allow you to have your time. And
it was weird
about her.
She eventually just kind of dropped off the face of the earth. Like, even Lauren was like, have you heard from her? Nope. No one knows. She just kind of started a new life at the other end of the state, and no one ever heard from her again.
Interesting.
Very wow. Strange.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like I was saying, it's like those kind of moments. I wonder if you look back, if you're just like, oh, there's other things where, like, I realize now she never, like, fully supported me, or was kind of backhanded compliments, or, you know, stuff like that, that I feel like with age, we kind of start now, like, weeding out those kind of people.
Yes. Well, I kind of, even going back to what you said early at the beginning, like, COVID in general, I think, changed how I view everything, whether it be myself, whether it be the world, people. Because in reality, like, I've always been an extrovert, but I used to be much more reserved and self-conscious. Mm-hmm. And social media, well, the classroom was really where I could be silly and be myself and just whatever. And then when social media accidentally took off, I learned, oh, I can be myself and people don't hate it. That's mm-hmm. cool. And that's kind of where I found my voice, not just with myself, but with people also. Being able to kind of step into my true skin really helped me advocate for myself, set boundaries, be more picky about who I allowed in my life and not. And of course, we're all works in progress. We all have ways to go. I'm still a people pleaser. I'm still a doormat, but I'm definitely not as bad as I used to be.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree with you. Yeah, the people pleaser, the thing where I'm better at saying no now, if I like don't have time or I just can't do it, I still have that guilt mm-hmm. though. I'll be like, are they going to think I'm a bad person or a bad friend? Mm-hmm. And then my husband
all
will
the
be
time.
Like, no, they literally, no. It's not a second thought. It's okay. Yeah. It's interesting how you're kind of like ingrained in that. But I always call myself mm-hmm. a recovering people pleaser because I'm like, I'm actively working against it and like telling myself.
Exactly. Okay.
But I think my like immediate filter is better at reading people now. I had a thing happen where someone that I had met years ago, and I want to be very vague, someone I met years ago, and the time that I met her, she was not very friendly or kind. Okay. But since she had seen videos of mine on TikTok, and when she bumped into me, immediately asking how I could help her and was like, oh, mm-hmm. my thing like over here, and asking me all these questions. She's like, I'll send you a message on TikTok right now because I'd really like to like know how I can do this. I was at an appointment. I was somewhere. And I was like, okay. And I came home to my husband. And I was like, I have no intention of messaging her back. Mm-mm. Because I could tell it was for all the wrong reasons. She,
yeah, exactly.
Just, I felt like very like used and like icky after it. And she's like,
yes.
So loudly so people could hear and like being like asking about personal things. And I was just like, I'm just not interested in that. Okay. Let's get into, I know people are gonna be like listening and being like, Krista's all over the place today.
Longest episode ever. No, I love this because yes. I'm all over the place. And so she's really just mirroring me. It's my fault, guys. It's
no, I love it. Well, actually, no, people have said, like, I wish the episodes were longer, so it's okay if it's a little bit longer.
Oh, you brought the right guest. Yeah. Me, we really could sit and just talk forever.
We could.
That's my favorite thing. Oh, go ahead.
No, you're good. I was just gonna say, I barely, like, other than my husband and my daughter, and then if we randomly go do things, like, they are who I see. Like, I work from home, so, like, if I have a call, I see someone. So that's why I'm like, the podcast is a great way to, like, chat with people. Because I'm like,
Yeah, it really is. People don't realize how isolating this job really is, because in reality, we're like sitting at home alone, talking to ourselves. And like, yeah, we post it for a lot of people, but we don't have that human interaction. I always say, and I think I probably said this to you when we were together in Chicago, is that there's so many different types of personalities that do well on social media. And when you find the people that have the similar one to yours, it's like the most validating and wonderful feeling. And I'm like, I want to talk to them all day long. And it's like, it's the best feeling, because even in days or moments where you feel self-conscious, it's like, but I found the people who get me. I'm like sliding off of my cushion right now. Don't mind me. But I found the people who get me. And it's beautiful and it feels good. It's like the best feeling ever.
Yeah, no, definitely. An interesting industry and hard to explain sometimes, for sure.
Yeah.
Always.
And a lot of misconceptions.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Hey, drama lovers, big news. My brand new book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the story you've been waiting for. Full of messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and heart you love. Even better, you can take advantage of early bird pricing all month long, only available through the end of June. So if you want the full story before the spoilers start flying, head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes and grab your copy today. Okay, let's get into this week's wedding story submission. As always, I haven't heard it yet.
I'm ready.
But we're going to see what we got. Feel free to stop me anytime, or I'll make pauses as we kind of go. All right.
Okay.
This wedding is in Texas at a rustic but upscale venue that doubles as a winery. It has no tones of old Western, just rustic. Think wood tones, a large reception space that looks similar to a barn, but glass doors. Mm-hmm. This person gave a lot of details that we don't normally get.
Yeah, I like that. I can visualize.
Yeah. The ceremony space looked very like a very small church from the outside. On the morning of my wedding, the bridal party was getting ready in the bridal suite, and the groom was getting ready in the groom suite. One of the groomsmen didn't follow instructions and showed up 2 hours late with a different girl than who he RSVP'd for. Okay. This girl had a very strong Russian accent, went into the groom's suite and started talking to the groom and asking questions. For example, is this a yeehaw wedding? And will you be doing square dancing? Okay. Interesting. I mean, I guess like switching
to a like
girl doesn't really matter, but it's interesting.
Oh, wow. Okay. Go ahead.
The boys kicked her out and told her to wait somewhere else, and she came then to the bridal suite. She came in and started acting faint and sat at a table demanding attention from all the bridesmaids. They were taking care of her because they were worried and had a hard time understanding her because of her accent. When they turned away to finish getting ready for the day, she ate my lunch. The bride's lunch. The audacity. There was no more food left until after the ceremony, so I went to my wedding hungry. See, I'm a big, weddings that I've been in and, like, helped coordinate, I am big into, like, no one other than the wedding party be in the room. Like,
yeah, why was she in there?
Yeah, I feel like it's probably the groomsman that wasn't paying attention being like, oh, just go in there. You're fine. You're one of the girls. Because I've seen that.
Yes, that's what I can see that. Yeah. Okay. I could give her the benefit of the doubt. In the groomsman suite, I could give her the benefit of the doubt. I'm like, she's just, you know, I think there are such stereotypical views of Americans in different parts of Europe. I can see her like genuinely getting excited. Is this a yeehaw wedding? Because like everywhere is Texas. People in Europe don't understand that. They think cowboys, they think McDonald's. They have very specific ideas of what they think America is.
Yeah.
And sometimes when they're like, oh my God, am I going to be able to experience this American thing that I only see on TV? Like they can get excited. It can come off as rude because I feel like especially in Eastern Europe, sometimes people are much more blunt than we're used to here in the US, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just different. Right. But then the going into the weddings, wherever you go, the bride is the star. Why are you demanding attention as a guest? That should be common sense.
Yeah.
Why are you going and bothering people you've never met before? Like, if
Right.
I can even maybe see like a, hey, we don't want you to mess up with the setup. Stay in the groom's suite. Why are you sending her? I can see why a man, I love men. Some men are dumb. Not all men, always a man. Not all men, always a man.
Yeah.
Why is some man being like, yeah, just go hang out with the girls? Sir, this is a Wendy's. This is
Yeah.
a wedding. This is not babysit your girlfriend time, Tinder chick of the week. Like, you could have been just, she could have even been established as a new serious girlfriend. It is not everyone else's job to babysit her.
A
That's
hundred
weird.
percent.
That's strange.
Well, and I feel like
And
it's
you
such
should
a,
know. Oh, go ahead.
yeah, no, I was gonna say, I feel like it's such like a guy thing too. Weddings, like the women, like typically, right? We're talking traditionally, women have like a schedule. We start early, we get hair and makeup, we got
Right.
champagne, whatever that looks like.
Exactly. A much
Groomsmen,
more
they show
structured
up.
day.
Yeah. Groomsmen just show up, they put a suit on, take a couple pictures, drink whiskey. You know what? They gotta like hang out. And obviously, like, we gotta hang out too as girls, but like, I just feel like the guys are more just laid back about it. And that's society. I'm not blaming that on the guys. That's how it's,
Right,
you know?
exactly.
But so I could totally see the guy being just
Not
go
even thinking
girl.
about it, which is not necessarily his fault, but what is his fault is assuming that everyone else is going to babysit his date. And
Yeah.
for the date, she's a grown woman who invites herself into a space and just eats everybody's food. Do you even know the bride's name? Probably not. That
Yeah.
to me is crazy. Holy moly.
Yeah.
Holy moly. I would have been so upset.
I know. Like I've said, I've been a part of weddings where like it seems like a what's the word I'm looking for? Grand Central Station. Like people just constantly come in and out. Like there's big families, they want to see the bride. I don't know if that's me just being like a more private or like type A person, but I'm like, let's keep it to the
Understandable.
wedding party. If you're coming in to say hi, sure. I kind of want my own wedding and then weddings I'm a part of. I'm like, okay, if you're not in the wedding, let's kind of like not come in. Because it's
Literally,
almost like a play. It's a
literally.
performance, right? So like let's not look at the actors before they walk out. I know some people are gonna like laugh at
Yeah.
it, but it's kind of like that. Let's not reveal
Like,
before
you want to show
the
the finished product. They sit and they get ready all day long. And I think it's different when you have a close family member or a close friend coming to, hey, do you need anything? Hey, how are you doing? Hey, XYZ. But like, this isn't happy hour. This is not friend speed dating. This isn't daycare. Like, okay, you broke up with your girlfriend. You have a different date to the wedding. Okay, that's fine. She has nowhere else to go. She's hanging out. Okay, but it's not, why is it everyone else's job to entertain her? Why? Did you have to bring someone? Like, if she had nowhere else to go, why did you bring her?
Yeah, especially being a groomsman, I feel like you've got your guys there, you got other stuff to do. All right,
Right.
let's see what happens next. So she
Under our
goes to the
camera.
wedding hungry. At
Oh,
that
wait, that's
point,
not all? Oh my God. Okay,
oh my
sorry.
gosh,
I'm
you, that was
sorry.
the whole story, girl. We've got lots.
Okay. Continue, continue.
There's so much
Holy
more.
moly, okay.
Okay. At that point, she got kicked out and was told to wait in the ceremony space. Wedding
Okay.
ensues with no other problems until the reception. During the reception, the girl tries to enter the bridal suite and the groom suite where the wedding planner catches her and tells her that it's locked until after the wedding. No one is allowed in except for the bridal party. Okay, good. I'm glad the wedding party planner is there now.
Right.
The girl
He's on top of it.
retrieves, exactly. The girl retrieves her groomsmen and they tried picking the lock to the groom suite. What? What?
For what? Why does she need to get in there?
Yeah. A friend of the groom went and found the planner to let them know the girl was trying to break in the groom suite. Because the groomsman was with her this time, they unlocked it for them and was told they were changing. So the planner left to take care of the couple. Wait, they told them they had to get in there and go change. I'm so
They've
confused.
told the planner, hey, I'm a groomsman. I need to get to the groomsman suite. I have to change my clothes. So the okay, and they unlocked it and left.
Oh my gosh. So
Oh my gosh, that's stressful. I'm sweating.
okay, it says they did the deed, if you know
That's
what
where
I
I thought
mean,
this was going. That's where I thought this was going.
and left the place in absolute disarray, a huge mess. They then left the wedding early, and we didn't find out about the mess until after our families went in to clean up the suites and pack everything up. We felt very disrespected by this, so I personally texted the groomsman the next day to ask him why he brought a stranger, first of all, without talking to us about it. That he RSVP'd for was his girlfriend of a year that we knew. So there we go, too. And why he left her to wreak havoc upon the bride and then disrespected the place by basically destroying it. Oh, so they brushed off the communication and mentioned that he barely knew her, but that she was a family friend. No apology whatsoever. I was then talking to my bridesmaid about everything that happened with her, and we found out the groomsman's parents paid her to be his escort and get him to break up with his girlfriend. That is not where I thought this was going.
Wait, what?
His parents paid her to be his escort.
First of all, if you are a man who is easily swayed to break up with your girlfriend of a year because of a fancy accent and some excitement, throw the whole man away. Throw the whole man away, in my opinion. Full stop. Obviously, we don't know like what kind of issues were going on in his relationship.
Right, right.
We have no idea. She could have been a toxic girlfriend. We don't know.
Right.
The whole thing just screams gross to me.
Why are the parents getting involved? Can he?
I'm so shocked that I'm like, I can't even find my words.
The last sentence says, they also paid for her expensive designer clothes for the wedding, then paid them to have an expensive hotel that night. So the parents literally just wanted this, like, but why the parents getting involved? We need to get rid of this.
But not only that, if they had this fancy hotel, why can't they wait till they get to the hotel?
That's what I'm confused about. So they just like how to do it.
That's just so inconsiderate.
Who's like, this like guy? Okay. I'm
when you're dealing with relationship issues, I am so mad at him for a lot of reasons. Because when you're dealing with relationship issues or the downfall of a relationship, I can't think of what word I'm looking for right now. So that's what we're going to go with. The downfall of a relationship. It can really mess with you mentally. Okay. I know that. I get that. I spent the last year getting divorced. Actually, in fact, so fun fact, in North Carolina, you have to be separated for a year and a day. That's tomorrow for me. Literally tomorrow.
Congratulations.
I'm excited. Thank you. Thank you. I'm excited. It's a celebration.
Yeah.
But I understand better than anyone that message that can bring you down and you can really struggle. That doesn't mean you just get to blow up everyone else's stuff that they have going on. That doesn't give you the right to just bash and trash other people's exciting moments. If you're not able to handle that kind of celebration, we're all adults, right? We're all adults. You know right from wrong. If you cannot handle being at that kind of celebration, you need to speak up. I'm trying to think of how to phrase this because I know there's going to be, from my bad apple videos, I always know there's always people like, well, you have no heart because you're not thinking of the other side. And I'm like, when people go through a really difficult time, whether it be emotional turmoil, mental spirals, addiction issues, their behavior can be explainable. That doesn't make it justifiable.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that to people. You don't get to do that to people and call yourself their friend.
Yeah.
That's just bad behavior. That's bad friend behavior. Your friend's wedding is not about you. Your friend's wedding is not about your recovery or your breakup or you trying to get back at your ex. It's just not. No matter how badly you were treated, no matter how badly you're hurting, it's not always about you.
Yeah.
Period.
100%. The fact that his parents did all this and tried to get involved is gross. And I feel like
we don't
know. I mean, he must be very easily manipulated, but it sounds like he doesn't really come from a good background. If the parents are like, you know what? We need him to break up with this girl. So we're going to hire an escort for him to come to the wedding with him, pay for everything. It's like, so did he not know? Or was he just like, oh, okay, cool. Like, this girl seems better. I don't know. Just the whole thing's...
Everything about it is just weird. And it's hard to know, like, what the truth is with those things. Like, did he know? Did he not? We don't know.
Right.
Is that the first time he ever met her? We don't know. Was he struggling because he was mentally abused by the girlfriend? We don't know. But what we do know, like, at the end of the day... Your friend is getting married. One of your best friends getting married. You know, you're not going to be asked to be a groomsman in a stranger's wedding, more than likely. Nine times out of 10, you're going to be asked by someone you're very close to.
Mm-hmm.
For you to just blatantly not care about one of your best friend's weddings like that. And even if he was in such emotional turmoil that in the moment he didn't realize, and that's possible. But then to be confronted with that and not care, that's just a bad friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the biggest issue, is that he couldn't even look back at his behavior and be like, you know what, I'm sorry. Like,
my bad.
Yeah, that is like, it makes me wonder like what the aftermath was. Like, are they still friends with this guy? Who is this guy? Like, was he just like a old high school friend that they barely kept in touch? You know, like there's that friend where you're like, you're hanging on by a thread and you're like, we still have history.
Nice thread.
Yeah, thread has been snipped now.
Mm-hmm,
I'm just
mm-hmm.
like, that is so like, you know what? Like in the beginning when they're like, oh, he brought someone else, whatever, fine.
Right.
But at the end of the day, when it comes out to be all this, it's like, no, you were
It's
blatantly
too much.
disrespectful. Then when someone confronted you about it, you just, no apology, you cut off communication. Like, so you know you were in the wrong.
And also, even another side I just thought about, and I don't know what her exact profession is. I'm not sure. But like, if you're a professional, be a professional, you know? No matter what, like, I'm never going to be someone that shames sex workers or anything like that. People do what they do. Their job is their job. That's none of my business. But if you're going to be a professional, be a professional. That doesn't mean go in, like, you know what you're doing. You know that you're eating other people's food. You know you're bothering people on their wedding. You know that you're getting into somewhere that you're not supposed to be. What are you doing? That's crazy to me. And the fact that he tried to pass her off as a family friend is hysterical to me.
Yeah. If you mean family friend because your parents found her first
and
brought her in, I mean, sure.
That's wild to me.
That is really
wild. Wow.
And this is why, and so many people are like, when I share like videos about like plus ones or bringing a guest and stuff, people are like, oh, there's so many bridezillas. It's like, and not saying this is going to happen at weddings, because I'm sure this does not happen at a lot of weddings, but.
But you never know.
Rules happen. Rules are because of things like this happening. Or people wanting to bring random Tinder dates. I just read a story about that. Or like, it's like people do this because people don't understand boundaries. Or you get
exactly.
And that's like, whatever, it's just another day. Like, I'm just going to go hook up with this girl I just met in the groom suite. Like, why not? Because it's inappropriate.
No. It's the same reason that you don't propose to someone at someone else's wedding. It's not your wedding. It's not about you.
Yes.
It doesn't. You don't have to get exactly what you want the moment that you want it at someone else's wedding.
Oh my gosh, speaking of that, so I've talked about that so many times, how it's so tacky to do at someone else's wedding, and people have their own opinions. Like, if you're asked ahead of time, sure, whatever. But I just saw a video where a guy did it at his girlfriend's college graduation. Literally, as she's walking up to grab her diploma, he walks up, cuts the teacher off or the professor off from talking, and proposes. And I was like, no.
No.
I was cringing
Why?
So hard. Such a side story.
But I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
No.
There's so many reasons that I don't like that. Because like, I went to a high school that had a few thousand kids in the student body. Like, our class size was huge. We're there all day long. You're telling me you're trying to add another 15 minutes. Like, you're holding everybody else up. Because you want, this is not about you. This is about all of us. We are all here. We all graduated.
I saw red flags. Everyone was like, he couldn't her have her moment of grabbing, you know, it had to be about him.
That too.
That's how I saw
that. Yes.
And
Well, even like who I feel like, I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. I think that the effort someone puts into surprising their significant other for anything, a proposal included, says a lot about them and the relationship and things like that. Oh, this is already an event and everyone's going to be dressed up. I'll do with it. Like, what?
Yeah.
Is there a chance that there's some big, like, emotional meaning behind this? Yeah, sure. We don't know the context, but you couldn't find anything more meaningful or significant or put forth a little bit more effort or not interrupt everybody else's day.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's crazy to
me. I was
me.
Like, I had
That's
to talk about it. So I'm so glad you, like, said that. It was like an opener because I've been dying to talk to someone about it. I saw it and I was like,
oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
But that was a crazy story. I cannot.
Yeah.
This was insane.
My head's just reeling and I'm thinking about like, what would I have done in that moment? I had a friend who, one of my best friends, got married and I was her maid of honor. And there was a guest who was like, hey, I see that the dress code says no jeans, but I'm going to come in a Hawaiian shirt to be funny. And she was like, please don't do that. And he did. He just came to this wedding, this beautiful mountain wedding, in a Hawaiian shirt, in shorts.
Be funny.
To be funny.
See, to me, that's... They want it to be more about them. They can't just...
Exactly. Exactly. And like, I understand there are people who go a little overboard and put like very specific dress codes. And I don't agree with that either.
Right.
But you know, you cannot wear jeans for a day. Or why do you have to do, people always say, oh, it's a prank. I think today, nowadays, people have lost what the actual meaning of a prank is.
Yes.
I don't think it's funny to upset somebody or to actually like ruin someone's day or event or whatever. That's not a prank. If you think it's funny, like genuinely upset people or ruin someone's time or ruin someone's day, that says more about you. Like, that's not a prank.
Oh,
A
yeah.
funny, it shouldn't be funny to actually cause genuine upsetness or emotional harm. That
Oh, yeah.
it's not cute. It's not funny.
The things that drive me nuts is the pranks where they go out in public and prank random people, like in a store or like kids. There was like a literally a woman that was, I think, I want to say she was pregnant, and they like put a bucket on her head. Have you seen this?
No, I don't know. Don't touch strangers. Why are we touching strangers?
And they like film it. They film their reaction.
No.
One was just at a store shopping by herself, and like she needed some medical attention because of it. And I'm like, no, like that's not a prank. That is like actually like.
No, that's not cute.
Yeah.
That's not, it's so crazy to me, especially today when, you know, everyone talks consent is key. Well, it doesn't apply to me because it's funny. It's not sexual. It doesn't matter. No. Why are we touching strangers? Why are we putting our hands on them? Who raised you? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand. That drives me crazy. I would not be happy. I would not be happy. And also, like, for example, like, you never know what people are going through. You don't know who has PTSD. You don't know who suffers from anxiety or panic attacks. You don't understand who has claustrophobia. Why? No.
Why are we doing that? Yeah. If you have to prank someone like that, you need to come up with better content. Sorry. You just need to.
Yes. Yeah, they're looking for the shock factor. And I'm like, you don't have good content. You just are shocking people. That's why you're getting views.
Yes.
I don't like being mean to people. I will never say someone's content sucks or anything like that. I would never say that. That's not content.
Yeah.
That's inconveniencing people and going viral because people are so shocked this happened, they can't look away.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's wrong. It's bad behavior.
How they react to something without their consent. I don't even know how we got on that topic, but I love it. I love that
I love it. No, I love it. I think it's important. It's a good thing to talk about. It's like food for thought, you know?
Yeah. We can all think about it. Yeah. Okay. We usually like to end these with confessions. People send me confessions. So I'm going to read a couple of confessions and we'll just react to them. I know we're a little over time. So hopefully.
No, that's okay. I don't mind. If you don't mind, I don't mind.
I don't mind. Let's do it. Okay.
Yeah.
This says, I resent that out of the 365 days, my sister had to pick the same day as me to get married.
Oh, the same day?
I would kind of be weird about that too, I think.
Yeah.
Like, why?
Because like I've learned recently that not everyone has the same kind of relationship with their sibling that I have with my brother. My brother and I are so close. Mm-hmm. I love my brother. Like, we travel together. We're the best of friends. Yeah. I love my soon-to-be sister-in-law. They're not even engaged. They're just
You've just
together.
Adapted her as that. Yeah.
I just love her so much. He had to go to a wedding in Mexico. And this is a tangent side note story. I'm so sorry.
I love it. Hey, but my listeners love stories. So it's perfect.
Oh, good, good. So my brother's friend, very close friend, got engaged. They were planning a wedding in Mexico. And you have to plan accommodations and travel stuff for that very far in advance, like a year in advance. And he had not met his now girlfriend at the time, but he assumed, yeah, I'm sure by then I'll be seeing someone. God, I hope by then I'm seeing somebody.
Yeah.
And he was the most perfect girl in the entire world for him, but she's also a girl boss getting her PhD. And she had doctorate exams the day after the wedding. So she wasn't going to be able to go. So I graciously accompanied my brother on this wonderful trip. Had to chaperone to make sure he didn't get kidnapped, of course.
Right.
Because I'm such a good sister. I learned when I was there, like, so many people were like, I could never go on that trip with my sibling. We'd rip each other's throats out. We don't like each other enough to do that.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad because I'm so thankful for the relationship with my brother. Whenever I get remarried, whenever that may be, if it may be, I would be devastated if he wasn't at my wedding. You can't be at my wedding if we're getting married on the same day. What are you doing?
My thought wasn't the same year, but I'm guessing like same date. I don't know. Maybe I'm reading into it, but maybe.
Oh, I read same day.
You might be right.
Or I might have heard that. If I could be wrong.
You know what? I mean, I guess it could be either way. Yeah.
Same year. I think that's dumb to be mad at. Personally, not everyone has that opinion. I don't when people get married, you don't own a year. You don't own
season. What I'm thinking is if I got married today, like May 21st, 2025, the sister got married May 21st, 2026. That's what I was thinking. Their anniversary is the same.
Oh, they just have the same anniversary?
Yeah. That's what I think.
Oh, why does that matter? You're not hanging out with your sibling on your anniversary. Why does that matter?
Yeah, I don't know. I could see where that'd be kind of weird, though. Like, maybe it's the only date available. I don't think it's something that I would be, like, holding a grudge about, but I would be like, I don't know. It's kind of weird.
I think everyone's feelings, if that were to create emotion, that's valid. Like, your feelings are your feelings. You can't control your feelings. I don't think I would get upset about that.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's something worth holding a grudge over. Because, again, your anniversary is about your partner. Like, when you go on anniversary trips, you're going with your partner. You're not going with your sister. It's not a family trip. It's an anniversary.
Yeah. Now, I really want to message this person and be like, okay, same
and, like, exact thing. Like, ask clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because you're getting married at the same time?
Because now that I'm reading it again, I'm like, okay, you might be right.
And who's the parents going to go to, right? Yes. Where are the parents going to go?
She's like, okay, we're getting married at 5 p.m. on May 21st. And the sister's like, cool, we're getting married at 11 a.m.
Okay, I need to know. I need to know this clarification.
I need to know, okay. Well, I'm going to message this girl or guy. Okay, next one. We broke up the day after his aunt's wedding. I was in the middle of all the family photos. This is, I think, a lot of people's fears with, like, dates and plus ones. They always try to put them on, like, the sides. I never thought about that at my own wedding, and I don't think we had that issue. I think most people we invited were long-term relationships or married.
Right.
But you also never know. Someone could get a divorce. Someone could break up. I don't know.
Exactly.
That's just what happens. I don't know.
I know somebody who had a family member bring a plus one. It was a long-term partner. So they're like, of course. Yeah, bring your long-term partner. Absolutely. Yeah. The family member never revealed that they actually broke up and not only still brought them as like, I don't want to go alone, come with me. But like kept when they did family photos and the bride was like, oh, it's a long-term partner. I don't want to leave him out. Come on. Didn't tell him to sit out of the family photos. Like, had him go be in everything.
So, they completely had broken up.
Oh, they completely broke up.
Were they, like, just good terms?
She's now completely married to a completely different person.
Oh, weird. He's like, come along, please. I don't want to be alone or have my family think I'm alone.
Right. Or, well, they had, like, there was tension between her and her dad, and it was the bride's family members. So, it was, like, cousins, right?
Yeah.
And she didn't want to go to the wedding with her father there alone, I suppose. So she asked the ex-boyfriend to pretend to still be the boyfriend, but still included him in all the family photos. Didn't tell anybody. Didn't give anyone a heads up.
And then like a week later, they see he's like engaged to someone else. They're like, wait, what?
Well, I think the worst part about it is her mother knew and still didn't warn anybody.
She's like, I'll leave it to them.
It's fine.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine though, then like your ex's like aunt's photos for the rest of their life?
So, I mean, I
love that.
I'm not going to lie. I've been thinking about this a lot lately because I was in my ex sister-in-law's bridal party.
Mm-hmm.
I've been thinking about that a lot, actually.
So you're forever a part of it.
I think I'm on the end in a lot, which is great for them. I hope. I feel really bad. Oh, I like actually have been actively thinking about it for the last month. I'm like, I feel awful because they got married in September.
Yeah.
And we separated in May. So like, it wasn't even that long
after.
It wasn't
that long after.
Mm-mm.
Oh my Mm-mm. gosh. You're Mm-mm. like, well,
Mm-hmm.
sell the memories.
Yeah. When I saw an anniversary post, I like felt guilty for like a week. I was like, I know how was I supposed to know? You don't know what you don't know.
Don't know.
But I still felt so bad about it.
Oh my gosh.
It's fine. Everything's fine. There's nothing wrong.
That's all good. Okay. This last confession says, I have gone no contact with my mother-in-law for 2 years, but I still mm-hmm. see my father-in-law and they are married. How does that work?
Is the father-in-law and mother-in-law divorced?
No, it says they're married.
Oh.
We ended with that they're still married. So,
do you watch that content creator that Shauna the mom?
Yes, I love her.
That makes me think of like not associating with Barb, but going to painting class with Frank.
Yeah. Yes. It's the strong personality mother with the very passive dad that just wants to keep everyone involved with each other. Like,
right.
Okay. However, yeah, but I feel like the Barb though is very like nosy. So it makes me wonder like how have they gone no contact? They blocked her.
Because if like think of personality types like Barb. Barb is so self-absorbed, she doesn't even know what Frank's doing.
Yeah.
She doesn't know or care. So why would she ever assume he was doing anything interesting? She takes no interest in his life.
Yep. Oh, a
Does that
hundred.
make sense to me?
Yeah.
That makes
It makes
sense to
me
me. And if she
wonder
can't see what the sun's doing, she has no idea.
if the father-in-law is like lying. He's like, I'm just gonna run out to the store. And then he's like at their house, like hanging out. And she's like, have you heard from Jimmy?
He probably, I'm going out, okay. And like, that's it.
Yeah. It's that.
I don't even think people like that wouldn't even ask, where are you going?
Yeah.
Like, they have the people that they care and they're super extra nosy, and anyone else, they don't care.
Yeah.
Like,
I
with the
kind of
sun, super want to be in the know, super nosy, anyone else doesn't matter. Sorry, go ahead. I
100%.
interrupted you.
No, oh my gosh, no, you're good. What did we say is like two, and I'm not diagnosed, but I'm like pretty sure I'm like ADHD of
We're
some
the
sort.
same person. I'm telling you have
Yeah, so
ADHD.
I don't ever get offended. Yeah, I'm like, I don't ever get offended when people try to talk
This
over
is
me
how
because I feel like we vibe off.
ADHDers communicate. This is what we
Oh,
do.
we do.
This is how
I
we
don't know what to be
converse.
offensive or mean. Yeah. But I totally picture that like 90s sitcom where it's the mom is like, or the wife is like doing everything around the house. She's like busybody, naggy, whatever. That's how they make them in the 90s or early 2000s. And then the husband's just like on his lounger. He's like running out. You know, it's just very like that dynamic of
That's exactly how I picture Frank. Exactly how I picture Frank.
yes. Yeah. That
Oh,
is so funny. I love that, like the
I love that.
sitcom vibes.
Do you have any confessions?
Personal confessions?
Yeah.
Oh, do you have some? Let me think.
Yeah, I got some. I
I've
got
never
some
had a
money
guest ask
confessions.
me if I have a confession. Ooh,
Oh,
ooh.
just the teacher in me.
Yeah.
What are you bringing to the
Well, I was,
class?
it's funny because I was just thinking, like, I'm like, sometimes when I have certain like guests on and we're just like vibing so well, I like kind of forget I'm recording sometimes and I'm like, did I say anything that I should, like earlier I was like, did I do a good job of masking who I was talking about? So I'm like, I feel like I already kind of said some confessions.
That's okay. I can go.
I'm so bad on the spot.
I think I already know, based off of the wedding that I had with my ex-husband, I already have a list of things that I either don't want or don't care about or won't waste any energy or emotion or anything on in the slightest bit. I like, for example, I think looking back, there were always signs. And I think that there were things that I was worried about in regards to the wedding that, now that I know myself better, I will not be worried about in my next wedding, or will not be stressed about, because the why will be different.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
No, totally. I was just talking to someone how I feel like at different like stages of your life, and we might have talked about this before, but if I had gotten married in my early 20s, it would have been a completely different vibe. Like, I feel like,
Yes.
again, way more of a
Yes.
people pleaser, inviting every single person I know. Of course, though, like personal finances would have been way different. So I would have had to rely more on help,
Yes.
but inviting everyone I knew, I would have had a different bridal party, probably not friends that were really there for me, and doing more of that, like people pleasing type. Like, what do you guys want for the wedding? What do you guys picture for the wedding? And I just feel like now, like my husband and I had been together for many years before we got married, that like we both kind of knew what we wanted. We were kind of over the people pleasing when it came to the wedding. And it was easier for me to be like, no, I'm not going to invite this person's, you know,
Yes.
that I
Yes.
barely see. No, I don't care. Like, we're going to make the cut right here because I haven't talked to them the whole time I've been engaged, you know, that kind of thing.
Exactly. I've never met them. I think that for me, I've really changed a lot of my outlook on life and love and relationships in general. I used to be like a, well, when you know kind of person, and love, you know, I think that there are some people who meet at a young age and they just find their person and it's just a match made in heaven forever. I know I'm almost 30 years old and I have friends who have been dating since the, I know people who have been dating since they were 8 years old. Like, actually, other friends, their first date was the 8th grade dance, still married with kids. And that's beautiful
Wow.
and that's great.
Wow.
And I love that for them. That is not the normal.
Yeah.
And I actually, not that I would ever force my opinion on anyone without asking, because if someone is like, oh my gosh, I think I want to get engaged, and they're 22, I'm not going to follow it up with, oh, I wouldn't, because,
Right.
But
Right.
when people ask me, there's so much that I learned about myself. And I, like, again, I told you in 2020, I really came into my own skin, that I personally love the idea of getting married a little later when you've really become your true self. And I say this pretty often. I think everyone in general, when they finish school or trade school, whether it's high school, college, grad school, whatever it is, when you establish yourself as an adult and get your job and like really settle into adulthood, you settle into your adult self. Mm-hmm. And it is not always what you think your life is going to look like at 22 when you're finishing school, or 18 when you're about to graduate, is not always what you will settle into by the time you are in your mid to late 20s.
Yeah.
And I think that's when you really find yourself and figure out what you, not only what you want in life, but what you want your future family to look like and what you value in a partner. Mm-hmm. That's so important. Because yeah. as people either grow together or apart, and you can't always control that. And people are still growing so much in their early 20s that you don't always know that early if it's going to be apart or together.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. Because like I said, like my husband and I were together many years before we got married. But like, I remember like week one, first few months, people were already asking like, are you gonna get married? Are you gonna get married? And like, we always felt these external pressures. And I would always be like, are we behind schedule? We'd be dating for 2 years. They'd be like, oh, he hasn't proposed yet. What's he waiting for? And like making me feel like, oh, does he not love me? Cause he hasn't proposed yet. This is like really deep stuff. And we would be perfectly fine. Like if it was just the two of us, we'd be great. And then that conversation would happen. And I'd be like, I was like,
wait, is something wrong? Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, wait, we were literally just fine. Why am I mad because of what someone else said? I'm like, we are good. In the same way with having kids. Like I didn't have my daughter until I was 32. And I was like, that was perfect timing for me because I was a little more established in my career. Obviously I've made a pivot since then, but like I was more established in my career. Like there's no way. And I've always said I didn't want kids in my 20s. I thought for me, and this is not anyone doing
it. Yeah, everyone's journey is different.
But it was just like, that would not have been the right time for me. It's hard now in my 30s, but I feel like way more level-headed now than I think I would have been. And so I just feel like you have to listen to your own plan and what, not necessarily a plan, exactly. but your own thing, and like take out the external pressures, because it's so easy to fall into of like, you know, oh, follow this timeline. I need to be married by this age. And I need to have a baby by this age, or, you know, whatever. It's just like, you need to like realize like we're all on our own timeline, get to know yourself a little bit. Yeah. No, I think that's such a good point of what you said.
Good. I love that. Oh, I like
that. I love those, like, parting words. Yeah. I love that. I love when it turns into that. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, of course. Thank you for having me.
It was so fun. Like we said, like we could chat forever. And I'm sure when I hang this up, we'll chat a little bit more. But can you again, where they can find you and anything fun you're working on?
Yes, I'm working on my garden. In reality, I've been so sick for the last 2 months that I'm so behind on work. So I'm just excited. I need to catch up. So that's what I'm working on currently. But I'm Rebecca Rogers on all platforms. On YouTube, on Facebook, TikTok, Snapchat, Instagram. Too many places. I need to calm down.
I was like, you told me, you're like, you need to get on Snapchat. And I was like, girl, one more platform sounds so.
I'm going to call you and I'm going to show you how to easily integrate Snapchat with like the software stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Cool.
I got you. Need to get my head on straight first.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Of course, of course. And thank you again for having me.
Thanks so much for tuning in to Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Party Planning by Krista for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.